Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode and another guest. So today on the show, I have Antonia from Kiss Aesthetics. If you haven't heard of her, go and check her out. She is literally building a complete empire. Well, she already has built an empire. So I really wanted to get her on the show to give us an insight of what it's like and how she did it. So without further ado, here she is. You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes. Antonia, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm good, thank you.
Oh, it's so good to see you. So can you just give our listeners a quick download on who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Antonia and I teach injectors how to earn passive income so that they can escape the clinic and free up more of their precious time. Because I think initially I was obsessed with helping people to make millions and all of the things. And I think money's great. It's definitely a great byproduct to have, but life, there's more to life than that. And I think, yeah, life's too short. Life is far too short. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's what it's all about. It's about freeing up time because that's all we've got.
It really is. So would you say people come to you once they're fully booked, they're maybe possibly like just want that next step, but they don't know what else to do? Like what stage would people come to?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think we get a real mix. So we get people that have, and I've helped people that have come to me ready to throw in the towel. They've got absolutely no bookings and they literally they need digging out of a dark hole. Not that I'm there to save them. I mean, the people that I've helped have always been self-led, accountable and all of the things. But yeah, I've helped people who are at the start of their journey. And then I've helped people who are already doing great, but they're curious to know, you know, what more's out there and they want to do even better. And I've helped them scale into 40, 50, 60K months. Like I had someone message me the other day saying she's just hit 64K a month. Like, so it's a real mix of people that I help. But they all ultimately want very similar things. And it is just more time with their family and time freedom.
Because I think that's where people in our world get stuck, because people are like, I want more time, but then actually a lot of the time we're making ourselves a lot more busier that then we definitely do not have any time.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it's really took me a while. I mean, when I invested in a coach the other year, one of the first things that she said to me was like, what are your core values? And it's something I do all the time, like an exercise I always do with my students, because I think until you realize what they are, like one of mine is simplicity and one of mine is freedom. And it sounds so stupid and so obvious, but any decision that I make now is in alignment with those, knowing that, you know, I could say no to a really sexy opportunity because I know that it's going to take time away from me, or it's not simple and it's not going to feel good. But if you don't know that, then, I mean, I was on a one-on-one with someone the other day and they were just feeling overwhelmed. I was like, because you keep saying yes to everything. And if you keep saying yes to everything, you're actually saying no to yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to the last question, I think lots of people would say how have you got that person from one level to taking 60,000 a month or whatever that is? Like, are you steering people into like online courses, or what does that look like?
I think a great coach will always lead by the client, in that for me it's really important to establish what they want from life. Like, we're so lucky as entrepreneurs that we get to create whatever we want to create, and it doesn't need to look like the next person or, you know, what someone else does. So I think it's really important that when we are, that we're facilitating growth, but not sticking them on this trajectory that everyone else is on, because if that doesn't align with them and their core values, then it's never going to work. So I think the reason why myself, and I know you, get great results is because we look at the person as a whole and what fuels them, what makes them tick. And I think that's the key driver to success, because you're never going to be able to scale in something you don't enjoy or that doesn't feel right. And I've fallen down that hole before, where I've done this big program because that's what everyone else was doing and that was what was going to bring the money in. And guess what? It did. But did it make me happy? No.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's following what makes them tick and then working with that.
Yeah, it's very similar to, obviously, you're more aesthetics based, I'm more beauty based. But when people come to me, a lot of the time they might be salon owners or fully booked clients, like with their books, and then they go on to teaching, then they go on to product, and it's like, okay, why are you doing this? And they're like, because that's what everyone does. And it's like, but is that what you want in your life? Is that going back to the values, which is a massive thing? And actually, a lot of the time it's not. People feel like they have to make these steps because it's just what they see everyone else do. And I think I need to make them steps as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you see it all the time. Like, and you must have it often, where people do copy what you do. And it's like, and it's like, why? You're so lucky. You get to create whatever you want to create, and you get to do it your way. So like, make the most of that, because so many people don't have that opportunity. You know, they might be in corporate and they're not able to maybe spread their wings in the same way you can. So I think it's a shame when, and it'll never get the same results because it's not authentic to them.
Yeah, definitely. So what made you get into the world of aesthetics? Take me back.
Okay, how long have we got? No, I'll make it really short and concise. So long story short, I did rehabilitation at uni, which is essentially physiotherapy. So I worked at like football clubs, right? It wasn't like massage or anything, that it was like basically physiotherapy. Left, went into corporate purely because I needed some money, nothing to do with the fact that I wanted to ever stay in corporate. Went to Ibiza and worked as a physio at a beach club. I fell in love, left Ibiza, came to the UK for the love of my life, found out that he actually had a girlfriend. My mum was like, well, you've just left your job in Ibiza. Like, you need to go and earn some money. So I just joined a agency. It was like I went to work at the Grand Prix one day as a it wasn't a grid girl, it was like just a stall. There was a girl on the stall that did eyebrow tattooing and aesthetics, and I got speaking to her on the bus. On we were eating our sandwiches on the bus, and I saw when she drove off, she had a really nice car, and I thought, oh. So basically the next day I put money down to do a course in aesthetics. And that is literally how I got into it. And it was, it made sense to me, because I've always been really artistic. I've always been a visionary. I'm very creative. So aside from the fact that I'm very driven and I've always been like a dog with a bone, and the money was great, I knew I'd love it. And that was it. So it was thanks to this idiot that I fell in love with in Ibiza that had a girlfriend that I didn't know about. And that's literally, I literally fell into it. And so I could never look back and regret anything on my journey. And that, thank God, because everything happens for a reason. Like everything, anything that's happened in life is, there's always been a reason.
Yeah, definitely. Even when you're in the darkest, deepest moments, it's like there will be something that comes out from this 100%. At some point.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's always someone trying to save you, or
amazing. So you've done your aesthetics course, then what?
Then I started working for myself. I initially was doing it from my mum's living room, so people would come in and my mum would numb them up, and God, when I look back, but like back then no one was really doing it, and I was literally doing like 25 people a day. Like I was like young racehorse then. Like I wasn't like rushing anyone, but I didn't have kids. I'd be up at crack of dawn and I'd be in that room till 10 at night, and I just remember thinking, oh my God, like this is really going somewhere. Like I was so busy and I was in there like 4 days a week and it was crazy. But I did, it was back then, I just was getting all this money and I was just flying around the world first class. I was investing it. Like I was honestly like, but yeah, funny. Those were the days. Now I'm
Oh,
on.
if we think about all the money that we spunked when we was younger and started earning it.
Regret it because like you only live once, don't you? And I couldn't be spending that now on like when I've got like my little one, my part, and I'd rather invest it. But yeah, those were the days.
So obviously you was really busy from home. Did you ever go to get a location or?
I think it got to the point where I mean, one day this lady came and knocked at our door at like 10:30, and my mum was like just fuming. And then another time, someone was like quite rude on the phone, and my mum was rude back. And I was like, "Mum, this is just getting really unprofessional." And it felt like a real invasion of privacy, like people coming to my home. And I think, you know, I had people flying in from Paris and New York, and they were like pulling up to my mum's little house. Like I say, little house, not like, but it's just like a 3-bed semi-detached. And it just felt like, okay, I need a clinic now. So off I went, and do you know what? I just rented a room in a clinic, which is still what I do now, which is why I think my business works so well. I've never had a commercial lease, which I think shocks a lot of people. But yeah, and then that was it.
But that comes back, don't it, to the whole values and what do you want? You didn't go on the whole journey of, right, now I need a whole clinic of my own, and then I need staff and I need all of this stuff. Like you've literally just stayed in your lane the whole time.
Yeah, I do you know I when I started getting really busy, everyone was like, "Why aren't you getting a clinic?" And I actually looked at a few commercial leases, but it made me feel sick. And like I remember like doing the exchange of terms or whatever it's called, like ready to literally put a deposit down. And my mum just said to me, like, "You know, I'll support you in whatever you do, but I can tell you're just something's stopping you." And I'm the girl that will book a boob job for tomorrow morning. And I'll go and get it. Like I'm a very much like. I do not think before I just do things. So the fact I was actually holding off, and it's the best thing that I ever did. And so many of my students are like, okay, so the next thing is to get a shop. And I'm like, why? Like there are so many ties. Like I've got 13 clinics and I'm, you know, doing really well. And I don't own one of them. Like, and thank God, because can you imagine in lockdown if I'd owned any clinics? Like I know that if I wanted to shut down the business tomorrow, I don't. I could, and I would have. No, I didn't have to worry in lockdown. I was fine. And I think that peace of mind is really important.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pluses that come with it. So with the clinics across the country, do you have people that apply and say, like, I want to be a clinic for you? Like, how does that work?
So do you know what? It's when I knew I wanted to expand initially because I had like, well, it was just me. My first lady messaged me. She was from Kent, Lucy, and she was just like, "I'd really love to work for you." And I didn't really know what I was doing, so I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." So Lucy just kind of fell into my lap because I was just completely. This was years ago. She's turned out to be just one of the best things that ever happened to me. It was just meant to be. She's just great. And then the others, I realized I wanted someone in Manchester. Again, I kind of just pulled it out of thin air, but I knew it was a city and it was going to do well. Manchester, London, and then Wales were our first three. So we had people apply from all over the country, and I just did a load of interviews. Obviously, location was a factor, more so the person, and I just went from there.
And they use your whole branding and everything, don't they?
So they use my branding. They rent their own room, which is obviously approved by me, or I'll help them find that. Yeah, that's kind of how it works. And it's really simple for me because again, I'm not having to like pay wages or anything like that. Like they get a really clean split, which obviously not going to give too much away. But yeah, that's how. Yeah, and it works really well for me. And I'm not committed. I don't have to send any money or anything like that. Like it's just really clean. It's easy, and they're a great group. But I'd always say for anyone listening that is looking to expand, hire for the role as well as the person and not just the person or not just the role. Because I think you need a bit of both. And so often we're just hiring for the role, for example, and then you can end up with a see you next Tuesday, or you're just hiring for the person and they're at the role.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like we've got training academies across the country, and it sounds similar to that as well, which is a good way to scale for sure. So obviously you've created this huge business. Obviously you've got the coaching, you've got the locations, etc. Do you have products as well, did I say?
Yeah, so Sam, my other half, we opened up, someone rang me up a few years ago and was just like, I really want to work with you, I want to do wholesale with you. And I was just like, well, I just really, again, it's boiled down to I had the time, but I didn't want to lose that time. But I knew I had a massive client base, and my partner could literally sell ice to Eskimos. I don't know if that's the... So he took that over, and within 3 months he'd quit his job, and he was on bloody good money. So he does the products and does the wholesale, basically, which goes hand in hand. It works, obviously, because I already had a customer base.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously with scaling the company is how you have... Was you brought up around business, or is that something that was completely new to you and you've learned along the way?
No, so not really. So my mum was an air hostess. I always had whatever I needed, but we weren't like rich. I mean, I was an only child, so I got what I wanted. But I was a swimmer. So I was like a competitive swimmer. So I did national, I did it all. And I was literally training every morning and every night until I was like 16, when everyone else was like smoking on a park bench or whatever. Like, I was racing, I was up and down the country. And I genuinely think that that has set me up for life. Like, I've always been tenacious. Like, as a kid, my mum said, I was always the bossy one, like bossing all my friends around in the garden. Like, I think it's just the way that I am. I mean, my dad didn't bring me up. I only met my dad when I was 16, but he is, he's always had businesses. My mum's got a really strong personality, but I think what it boils down to is that I have ADHD and I've got a really obsessive personality, which I realise now is a gift. It comes with a lot of things with it, but in a business sense, it's a gift.
Some of the... strongest business people have ADHD, don't they?
And I think, and it's, yeah, it's crazy, but I just think because I'm so obsessed, it's shit, because sometimes with that comes anxiety, which I'm learning how to navigate. I get shit done because I have to get it done, because if I don't get it done, I can't relax. Which, yeah. But I definitely think it's my biggest gift now. So anyone listening, it's a gift.
Yeah, for sure. It's your superpower. So where do you think you learned most of your business skills? Was you a love listening to podcasts? Yeah, was you a book reader?
Do you know what? A lot of it was definitely trial and error. And where have I learned my business skills? I read a lot. I listen to podcasts a lot. I'm always reading like self-help books. I've read a lot of like Russell Brunson stuff. I'm always buying online courses. I've just had my finger in a lot of pies, and I'm always testing stuff. So I'm a bit of a geek. So like, if I've got an online course, for example, I'll create two of them and I'll like split test them. I don't know, I'm just always testing and like,
Then you're not scared of risk, then, are you? Like, you've had coaches, you've obviously, you're okay with testing things and then not working.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a story, it's only short. I remember I found this guy, I Googled, because I knew I needed some kind of funnel or like systems in my business to scale. I knew I needed that. So I had a little Google and I found this guy in America and I had a meeting with him on Zoom, and then he gives me this thing and he says, right, well, this is how much it is. It was $7,500 a month, right? So anyway, he'll kill me if he's listening to this now. So anyway, I'm not risk averse, I don't know. Anyway, so I signed this thing. At this point, I'm still living at home with my mum. So I come into the kitchen one day And she's done a load of research on this man who I've just thrown my life away at £7,500 a month, and he's doing systems, processes, sales funnels, all of this shit. And he's got his picture on the fridge and listed a load of stuff about him. One of them that he was like a Pepsi Coke truck driver, and he was like, are you really gonna fucking listen to this man?
Oh no.
Yeah, so literally, I'm literally thinking, shit, like, I've just agreed to £7,000 a month. I've already, anyway, fast forward a year, and mum's like fucking loving life, like on flying first class with me, because I've scaled to what we do, like 100-120 grand 1 month, like, all because I took that risk. And it's so hard, and I know so many people listening to me will be in that position. Your friends and family, you want them to be the people that are telling you to go ahead, but often they're the people that are pulling you back and giving you that resistance and telling you not to go ahead. And it's really hard, but some of the, obviously you have to weigh it up, but some of the best decisions I've ever made have literally made me feel sick with anxiety. But it, again, it just boils down to the people that succeed in life are the people that are prepared to step out of their comfort zone and remain in that growth zone with a growth mindset. And they fight through that imposter syndrome. And it still comes. I don't think you can ever get over that, but you have to just push through. Like, I'm not saying go and piss a load of money down the drain. Obviously, you have to weigh up the risk. But yeah, you have to be open to taking risks if you want to push through the upper limit.
Yeah, I completely agree. My friends and family, I'd say with most people's friends and family, it's more of a protection thing, isn't it? They want to protect you. They're scared, well, what if this doesn't go wrong, etc. But the amount of times I'll go to my friends and family that, oh, God, especially my family, oh, not again. Or, oh, you know, what are you invested in next? Or what risk are you taking now? And it becomes an ongoing joke. But I think when you're made a certain way, you have to take the next risk, because it's like, hey, you need that next growth. And you can only do that with taking the risk. So I'm guessing this guy wasn't a con artist.
No, luckily not. Which is bad. I did need to do more due diligence, but this was years ago. He wasn't the reason. I mean, I obviously had to be self-led and do all of the things, but he was a facilitator, which I think is what was needed at that time. I had all the ideas, but he really helped me facilitate them. But I was just going to say, getting back to what we were talking about, don't listen to people that don't have money tell you or advise you on how to use it, I think is what I learned. And when people were giving me advice on money, unless they had significant investments or, you know, knew what, had a real handle on their own money, I thought, I don't kindly thank you, but no, thank you. But I'm okay.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree. And I think that's why I'm always drawn to people that are really successful and do have the money, and they do have the investments, because for me, I'm like, how? I want to know more. What can you teach me that I don't know? Like, I want to get everything from everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What would you say has been one of your biggest struggles in business so far? Because I like to be very open with everyone, whether that's on socials or when it comes to the podcast, because people will look at us and be like, oh, they've got this, they've got that. It's okay for them to talk like that, but don't realize there has been a struggle along the way.
Yeah, of course. I've got so many answers for this. So I'll start off with the fact that how I live my life now is not how I got to live my life when I started. So, like, I remember traveling up and down the country. I literally didn't even have the money for petrol. I had to, like, beg people for the petrol money just to go and do a client. And I wouldn't make any money on it. It was just so that I could either get the pictures for promo or, you know, whatever. Like, I think not everyone, but some people step into the industry with this sense of entitlement that they just get to go do and have all of this money straight away. And it's like, you have to, we all have to start at the bottom and work our way up. It's, you're not, like, you don't just deserve to come in. I'm not explaining it very well, but I think people forget that I really did start from nowhere. And I'm sure I was working out my mum's living room. I used to turn up to some people's houses and, like, work in, like, bearing in mind, sometimes I didn't feel safe because I'd be in a really unsafe area and I might have traveled an hour and a half, and I'd be in, like, a dingy room with a little, like, light on doing what I was doing. And people don't see that. And then, like, I'll train people and they straight away, they're like, oh, well, I'm not doing it for this now. And I'm like, hang on a minute, like, remember, like, where you started, like, you, oh, I don't know, it just annoys me that people have this sense of entitlement and they don't see the graft. But my biggest struggle was definitely, sorry, my ADHD brain, you can't tell, and I'm a generator in human design. And I think there's this mismatch between the fact that I'm a generator, I'm constantly wanting to do things, but actually I've created a life and business where I don't need to. So like, for example, today I have nothing to do because I'm very organized. I've got all my shit done and I'm just all, yeah. But I know that I'll be, if I just spend the day out, I'll get really stressed because I need to be doing. And yeah, I think that's definitely my biggest struggle. And even if you get to that abundance zone, I call it, even the, you still want to do be and create. That's why so many like really rich people are still doing what they're doing, because at their core they actually love it, and that's what turns them on, like that's what lights them up. So you never really get to stop working. But yeah, I think I don't really know if I've answered that very well, but it's definitely, I think the biggest struggle in anyone's business is always going to be up here. That's always the biggest struggle.
I must say I struggle with that. I'd say it's one of my biggest struggles as well, is that everything in my company's worked like clockwork. The teams are there, everything's working itself. But then if I was to have a day where I don't have anything, I would definitely feel stressed. I'd be like, I need to make work, like be
That's it.
there so I feel like I'm doing something. Or I'll think of a new idea, so then I'm like, well, I'm going to work on that then. I can't seem to just chill. Like, I can't do that.
It's an addiction, isn't it? That's the problem. But it's a good addiction to have. As you were saying, it is a gift.
I would definitely prefer to be addicted to business than other things, so it's all good.
For sure. We're doing all right.
Definitely. Was there a point in your career where you was like, oh my God, this is actually working? Like, was there a turning point where you was like, yes, this works, I'm going to carry on doing this?
Yeah, Joe, I remember really well, and I know it's not all about money, but it was actually in lockdown when I logged into my Stripe account 1 month, and this was just my online stuff. This wasn't my clinics or any of the things, because none of that was functioning. And it was like, I think I'd done 97,600 pounds on my like digital products, and I was like, wow, like I'm minted. That was definitely the moment. But none of that was like, it wasn't like I logged on and had all this money. Like there was a lot that went into that. Like I was, doing a lot behind the scenes. But I think I realized that I had found this way of turning someone that was going to spend, 50 quid into 2,000 pounds. And I really understood the customer journey, my value ladder. And I really understood how I could take someone from not interested in buying to spending 17 quid and then 50 quid and then dangling something that was, a grand, 2 grand, and then having them in some kind of a subscription. Or yeah, I really understood that. And I think for anyone listening, I think that is key if you do want to scale your business, understanding your value ladder, ha having a business model that works for you, and having some kind of a funnel, which could be anything, and recurring income essentially.
Definitely. How did you, obviously lockdown was obviously amazing for you then, if you was making that much, everyone was like on
I was really
furlough.
the man, like, and I didn't have children at that point, which I also appreciate, and I just want to acknowledge like all the mamas out there. Like I fully appreciate when I was in this initial growth mode, I was not a mum. So keep going. Like it isn't, I think so many people who don't have kids maybe don't appreciate that it's not as easy. You can have all the will in the world, but kids are hard. Like they take up a lot of time. So you might get there a little bit slower, but you still get to get there. So yeah.
How have you found, now you've got your little boy, he's 1.5, how
Yeah.
have you found that kind of transition from like being able to be fully focused on your business to now actually being a mum above everything?
Yeah, it can be hard sometimes because if I've got an idea, I want to do it now. Like I'm not patient. Like I do it now. If I want to paint the wall bright pink, like it's pink before I've even, like, do you know what I mean? That's just what I'm like. So It's been hard, but equally it's been the greatest gift, because without having the business that I have, like some days I wake up and I'm like, oh, can't be arsed. Let's like, so I'll take him out. Like I don't know, I'll go to like Legoland or like wherever I want to go with him. Or like, I'm really lucky with my partner. He's obviously in the wholesale. He's got someone working in there. So like the other day I was like, oh, just the weather's fucking shit next week. Let's go to Turkey. Like we never got to go in the end because Elvis was ill, but we're so lucky that we get to. I forgot the question. This is
You can
what
just create, you can
I'm
just create the life you want. But yeah, we're about what's been the difference between being a mum while having the business. Do you feel like it stunted anything, or do you think you'd grow, you've already grown?
I think the swings and roundabouts, I think it can definitely make you move slower, regardless of who you are, because unless you're an octopus, you can't do it all. You can't hold it all, and you're not meant to hold it all. But also, I think it's massively helped me in my decision making. I keep things very streamlined. I say no a lot more, so I don't go off piste as much, because I haven't got the time to spend on anything that's not going to spin the wheels for me. So I like to, so yeah. And obviously, you've got more too. I'm a lot more. I'm in better control of my finances because obviously I've got someone that's depending on me, and I want to make sure that I'm creating a legacy for him. And so yeah, I've started looking into investing and all of the things. You just think differently. Like there's a different why behind it, which definitely moves the needle.
Yeah, the why definitely tweaks, doesn't it, to your children. I think your original why is still there, but then the new why kind of comes in. You're like, okay, now I just need to turn things a different way.
No more first class flights.
Well, you just have to fly on your own for all of that.
No,
Was like, oh, there's a retreat. I'm going there. The family are like,
I did
oh.
that to LA that last year. I was like, Lady Muck sat there.
I love that. And then lastly, before I let you go, because I know obviously you've got a day planned. So what would you say for those that want to start scaling their business? So they've already got their aesthetics business, they've got their clinic, they're busy. What would you say is their next steps to start scaling?
Okay, so I wrote down a few pointers that I went into because they've helped me so much. So first of all, keep it simple, which I've said a million times. Stay aligned, know your core values, because if you do that, you can stay in your lane, which is so important to get things right. Secondly, do business on your terms. So remember, you get to run a business how you want to run a business. If you want to break the rules, but do it how you want to do it, or you're not going to create a business that will stand the test of time. I'd say future-proof. So make sure that you're growing your list so that you can create an asset that is ultimately sellable, because there's no point putting all of this work in and then just walking away from a business. You want a business that you can actually sell at the end of it. So yeah, just future-proof and make sure that if you die tomorrow, that your business can still run. Stay in control. Make sure you've got a hold of your business. I hear it all the time, oh, I don't know what's happening with my finances or my numbers. Like, you need to understand your business, and you need to be doing weekly like KPIs with the team. So just going through like, what have you accomplished this week? What growth have you helped the business with? What challenges have come up, et cetera, et cetera. Don't let imposter syndrome win. We all feel it, but you'll never reach the peak of your career if you don't push through that. And then lastly, which is rich coming from me, because it's only something I've really begun to do in the last couple of years, is invest. Compound interest is our best friend. Money loses value. 100 grand today is going to be 100 grand in 10 years, but it's not going to be worth what it is now. So just make sure you're future-proofing from every angle, and that you are investing that money. Make it work for you, because running a business is hard. So any little help along the way is very much welcomed in my eyes.
Definitely.
And lastly, it's business is not the be all and end all. It's our health is the most important thing. And yeah, just have gratitude and be grateful for, even if you've only got one customer or two customer, just have gratitude that that person's entered your world and that you get to show up and serve them. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I love the fact that you just said as well about health, because I think so much of us put our business just like it's everything, and if we don't have the business, then we don't have anything, and we do.
Yeah. Well, I did. I know we need to wrap up, but I did a full body blood test the other month, and it was really shocking. And it said so much. I think it's really, yeah. And I'm so grateful that I did that, because if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have made changes, and things could have gone really south. So yeah, just your health is key. If you don't look after your health, then yeah, you've got nothing. So make sure that, yeah, you're doing that. But it affects your immune system, it affects your cardiovascular function, it affects everything.
Yeah,
Your
definitely.
fertility, like, yeah, so important. So yeah.
Definitely. Where can people connect with you?
So you can connect with me over at kissempire.com, or over on my Instagram, which is kiss underscore aesthetics underscore empire. So yeah, thank you so much
Perfect.
for having me. I've loved it.
You are so welcome. We'll put all the links in the show notes. So if you want to go and check out everything that Antonia and Kiss do, then you can go and do that. But thank you so much.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train? Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.